Val Lehman. Yeah, there's so many. Did you have a, I don't know, it's probably a hard one to answer, but did you have a favorite that you really look forward to doing scenes with? There was that sort of,
favorite I look forward to, I don't think so, because they were all great.
Yeah.
You know, like I really did appreciate it. Even at the time, I appreciated the fact that I was, you know, given the opportunity to work with some of these wonderful older actors, and they were all great. Even the ones that I found tough to work with, in some ways, like, you know, like Val was tough to work with sometimes, because she remained in character a lot of the time, and it was kind of tough sometimes. Although, of course, she became very, character-wise, a very maternal figure to Patty, in a way. And but again, even with her, like, she was quite scary to work with, physically, because she was quite physical. You know, she didn't like to hold back with the physical stuff, and so it was like, okay, brace yourself, you're working with Val, you know. but it was all, I wouldn't say that I had a favorite. I mean, it was always fun if I got to work with Amanda and Jane.
Yeah,
that was always fun. Yeah,
it's funny about Val. I didn't sleep the night before we interviewed Val. I was really nervous.
Yeah, she's
Ken was just all relaxed as normal.
Yeah.
But she's great, Val.
She is great.
Yeah,
she's a good woman.
I've got a fan question from Jason Burridge here. The typical question, I'm afraid, but how did Anna get on with Sheila Florence? Any funny or maybe not so funny anecdotes to share? Well, you've already shared.
That was fun.
Being in her chair, but there are plenty more.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about that, and I don't have a specific story. I mean, she was just always hilarious, Sheila. Like, she is hilarious. And because, of course, I don't know if you ever got to interview her at all, but she's got quite posh in her speaking. You know, she's that
Poppy Sheila,
the posh Australian accent. And as Lizzie, she was so gorgeous. That broad Australian accent was so fantastic. So it was always funny seeing her talk in her normal voice.
It's really weird to watch her talk in her normal voice after watching Lizzie for so long.
It sounds like she's putting it on, because you know her so well as Lizzie, so it sounds like it's actually not her real voice. It's very, very amusing. Yeah.
Wow. We covered my question, but I do have another question for you. As an actor, how do you like to learn your lines? What's your technique for remembering your lines?
Yeah, well, it's the number one job an actor has to do, isn't it? That's all you have to do, really, is learn your lines and get them out, and then everything else is somebody's opinion on how well you say them. You know, I don't know, just read the script a lot, learn them by myself, and then get somebody to read them with me. And if I, you know, my poor family would have to read scripts with me to get me, make sure I knew them. But I suppose I started learning lines from such a young age that
just came out.
That's cool. I never recorded them. I think some people record them and do things like that. I never did that. Just reading them, reading it, looking at it, closing my eyes, seeing if I remembered it, what did I forget, you know, and then having somebody check up on me, reading against me. That's how I learn them.
Must be a stressful thing, though. I mean, going on a big show like Prisoner, you're nervous about going the first day and you've got to remember lines. I mean, it must be a really big build-up of emotions.
Yeah, well, certainly knowing your lines was very much in the early days when you've only got two scripts there, so you've only got your first day of work, you've only got three scenes or whatever. So you just really make sure you know those lines really well, because you don't want to be holding anything up.
Yeah.
You know, the laughing's bad enough. You want to at least know your lines. So, yeah.
Paddy was subjected to one of Joan Ferguson's infamous black glove body searches. What was it like filming that scene with Maggie Kirkpatrick?
Oh, it was really fun. It was like my death scene with Nola as well, with Carol. They were both, you know, so scary on screen, but actually quite concerned about the actors that they were working with, if there was something physically aggressive going on. I mean, Carol was hilarious with the drowning scene. Like every time they said cut, she was like, "Oh my God, are you all right?" Like, yeah, she was so concerned, and it was very, very, very funny. But yeah, the Maggie scene, it was fun. Like, she looked after me, and we just had fun. Really, I mean, they're always quite funny, those scenes, those very dramatic physical scenes. There's a they're quite funny behind the scenes, because it's like, oh, how are we going to do this, you know?
It's funny you say it. They're funny. I mean, as a young person, when I was watching Prison, I mean, they're absolutely terrifying to watch.
Yeah. I know, it's all acting.
Yeah. Now, Rick Herbert, who played Andy, your love interest on Prison, what was it like working with him again?
Well, it was great, because as I said, I knew Rick from before I worked on Young Doctors. Yeah. With him, so we'd already been married on screen, and I remember Ian Bradley being really excited to tell me, because he was also produced Young Doctors, and he was so excited to tell me that Rick was playing this character. That he just thought it was really fun that he got to cast us again together, and Rick is still a very good friend of ours, a very, very close friend, and is on the same agency as me as well, of course, because he's a wonderful voiceover artist himself and has been for many years. So yeah, Rick is a much loved, very old friend, and we also played husband and wife in a stage play once. So we've three times we've been married on the screen and stage. Yeah.
You just brought up Ian Bradley's name, who we've had on, and absolutely amazing, talented man. Do you have a memory about Ian that you can share?
Well, that's probably my strongest one. When you had the meeting, I thought, oh, what's this meeting about? And it was just to tell me that Rick was playing Andy, and I always remember the look on his face, because he was so pleased with himself and so delighted to tell me. He was very good. He very much looked after us all as well. We felt very supported by all the producers and the production office. They all looked after us very well. Excuse me.
You were also involved in two of the best episodes of the series, The Great Fire of Wentworth, which was a fan favourite. What was it like being part of that? And what are your memories of filming it? Can you tell us any behind the scene?
Well, I remember it was a pretty big deal, as I remember. There was a lot of it felt a bit different to our regular filming, because we had, you know, smoke and different effects that we hadn't worked with before, in small spaces and rooftop filming on the rooftop and all of that sort of thing. I mean, it was just part of the filming. Like, we had really no idea at the time that they were going to be such you know, popular. Mostly I remember it feeling a little bit different. That period of filming was a little bit of a different experience to the regular filming. It was like, oh, we're doing the fire stuff today. Oh, that'll be different, you know, and sort of different locations and things. So, yeah, but that's generally my memory of filming those scenes. Yeah.
Big fan favorite, those episodes. And there was a lot of questions, fan questions about those episodes too. So we had one from Darren Hembro, said, well, this was a fan question, but no way, no way, and thrice no way, an excellent character played by an excellent actress, talking about yourself. Paddy had such a sad ending on Prisoner. I'd love to ask what it was like filming the Great Fire episodes, and what storyline did you like the most whilst on the show?
Which storyline did I like the most on the show? Let me think. When I was on there. I mean, I really enjoyed the romance story with Rick, because it kind of felt really nice, because it was such a sweet storyline in the midst of this hardcore kind of show, and we were so sweet together, you know, and also the fact that I got to meet Karen around that time made it a very fond fond memory of that storyline. So that probably was my favorite kind of memory of this that storyline.
I've got another fan question from Tessie Davey, who says, "Hi Anna, could you talk about the Great Fire of Wentworth and what it was like shooting the scenes with the fire brigade?" I'm asking this part of it. The question: was it dangerous, and did you have?
I don't recall it being dangerous. I don't recall ever being felt like there was any danger. Did anybody else have dangerous memories? Do you remember?
No,
I don't think we ever felt in danger. It felt quite exciting. I remember it just felt, my general memory of it is feeling, like I said before, that it was a bit different to our regular filming, and it was a bit exciting and sort of big, you know. So,
sure was.
Tessie actually goes on to say, "Such a legendary storyline, you must be proud to have been part of it."
Well, I certainly have been proud of it over the years. I mean, Prisoner fans are quite incredible. I still receive to this day fan mail from, you know, all over the world on a semi-regular basis, and I'm always amazed when I get some fan letter finds its way to me through my agent or somewhere, and wow, people, they're so devoted, these fans. But I can see how it's really more in retrospect that I can see how it captured the imagination of so many people, and how it's had such longevity as a popular show. It was quite groundbreaking television at its time. So yeah, but the most loyal of fans, though, it's quite remarkable. I mean, I was really quite overwhelmed when you sent me the email, you know, with all the sorts of questions you might be asking me and the fan questions, and it was like, oh, I can't believe so many people are so interested. And it's
oh, definitely, you're a big fan favorite, your character and yourself.
Quite overwhelming. Very, very, very lovely to know that you've brought such pleasure to people, you know, so many people with the work that you've done. It's a really nice feeling. So I'm very glad that so many people got so much out of it and still are.
Yeah, they still do, definitely. Now, we did speak about Lisa Crittenden, who played Maxine Daniels on Prisoner, but also a fan question from Cole Taylor said, "Hi, Anna, I loved you in Sons and Daughters as Little Tuffy, Tracy Kingsford, where you once again acted alongside Lisa, but your characters hated each other. I remember a great cat fight scene between the pair of you in a bar. What was it like working with Lisa and really toughening it up as Tracy?"
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Lisa's great. Like, she's a lovely actress and a lovely person, a really fun person. We had real fun with that. I think we really enjoyed being able to have a proper fight, a proper girl fight on screen. It was really, really good. Yeah. We enjoyed that very, very much. Yeah.
I've got another fan question from Justin Dowdle. "I always liked the character Patty. When Nola drowned her, how did you, Anna, manage to hold your breath underwater while pretending to drown? Also, what was it like working with Carol Skinner?"
Yeah, well, I've touched on that a little bit. I absolutely adore Carol Skinner. I got to work with her again on in Harp in the South. She's also in Harp in the South. And Poor Man's Orange plays a wonderful, wonderful character. And she's just one of my favourite actresses in Australia. I just love her. And she was so good to me and so gentle with me in between the drowning. it was not hard. I don't recall it being hard at all to hold my breath at all. As I mentioned, Carol was terribly concerned about having to do it. And it was not a problem at all. She didn't hurt me at all. I held my breath just fine. It was all good.
It's a very talked about scene though, between like on Facebook and all the prisoner groups, and a lot of people still talk about that sad ending of Patty. Yeah, everyone loved Patty, and she was just drowned like that. It's always talked about.
Yeah, it was a good death scene. Nice one.
We covered my question, but what I am going to ask, did you know when you took the role of Patty that was going to be the outcome for the character, that she was eventually
I didn't know that at that point. They hadn't written that far ahead. I remember when we did talk about that, it was funny. I probably could have stayed in prisoner for longer if I'd been I think I mentioned to you that I'd only met my husband in Sydney 3 weeks before I had to go to prisoner. And so there was a little bit of me when I was on prisoner really wanting to get back to Sydney. Okay. You know, I was a real Sydney person. I wasn't a Melbourne person. The Melbourne winter absolutely killed me. Although I did become an AFL fan for many years after working in Melbourne.
Did you marry or just out of curiosity?
Sydney.
Sydney.
Sydney Swans. Although in those days, though, there wasn't the Sydney Swans. They were South Melbourne.
South Melbourne, yes.
So I wasn't originally, I was originally a Geelong supporter. Okay. But I ended up a Sydney Swans fan. But I think my enthusiasm for being in Melbourne wasn't that great. And when we got called in to talk about our contracts, and because I think initially it was a 3-month contract, and then they wanted to extend the contract, and my contract did get extended, but before it got extended, being in the office with Ian Bradley, I remember thinking, I probably shouldn't have looked quite so. Really? You want me to stay long? It was, as I did describe myself before, as the least ambitious actress in Australia. So I was much more keen to get back to my fella.
The love took you away from prisoner.
It's, love.
It could have been on longer.
Love stole me away from prisoner, yeah.
Yes. So if Patty had lived, would that have been the fate that you would have liked to have seen happen to her?
Well, it was a great scene. Like I've had quite a few deaths on screen throughout my career, and that was a great one. You know, so I didn't mind being written out like that at all. I thought it was a great way to get written out. I thought, I'm glad I'm just not getting released, you know, that'd be a bit dull. So it was kind of nice to go out in such a dramatic, you know, fabulously dramatic way, and with one of my favorite actors in the world. I would have been happy to go out like that. I wonder where Patty would have gone had she stayed in another year or so. Who knows?
Yeah. Gone off to Sydney to meet her boyfriend.
Halfway house. It's funny you mentioned that about that, you know, you're glad you got killed, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and there's so many actors that talk about they would have liked to have been on a show longer, but they got written out sooner, but they were glad they got written out and killed off.
It feels kind of good being just going out with a bang, you know.
Now, speaking of bangs, the next scene I just want to talk about, which you weren't in, but it was when B killed Nola with the homemade gun or whatever it was, to make up for your death. Now, did you ever see that scene?
Do you know, it was some years after I got back from overseas that I saw that scene, and I remember thinking, oh, that's so cool, you know.
Just like, for Patty.
Yeah, it was kind of nice to think that even though I was gone, that the you know, the spirit of my character lived on for a while, and that B went to all that trouble to exact revenge on my killer. It was lovely. I remember thinking, oh wow, when she's in the hospital and she says, this is Patty, or whatever the line is. I remember thinking, oh, for me, how nice.
Yeah, right.
That's great.
Now, a few of the actors and crew you work with are sadly no longer with us. Can you share any memories of working with people like Juliana Fox, Kendall Flanagan, cast members and so forth?
Well, Kendall was lovely. He was one of our favourite directors. He was really special. Yeah. He dated a really good friend of mine for a while, and he was just lovely. Like, everybody loved Kendall. He's one of the directors I remember most working on the show. He was really, really lovely. Of course, Judith McGrath is gone now, and that was very sad because she was a great character. And of course, Betty Bobbitt's also gone now. I mean, they were all lovely to work with, and sadly missed, you know. But such is life. We're all here for our allotted time, I guess, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Now, when you played Patty, were you recognised a lot out in public when you went out? Was it a role that gave you a lot of attention when outside?
Yes, I remember. Well, of course, as I did say, I was overseas for a lot of the time I was on air. But I was here for the first maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks of being on television, and of course, my now husband, boyfriend at the time, I hadn't been with him that long, and he just found it hysterical when we'd go out and you know, people would, with that particular character, I guess because of the nature of the show, people were not shy about you know, yelling at you from across the street, or I don't know why it was with that particular show, but you know,
would they yell at your real name or your character's name?
Patty, you know, you're gonna bash someone today, or you know, like all of that sort of thing on buses, or sitting in a cafe and drinking a coffee, and my husband would always say, Those people recognize you. And I'd turn around and look at them, and they'd be just drinking their coffee. They know who you are, you know. Like, it was very, very funny. Recognized for television work is always amusing. Probably more from Home and Away, because I was on that for longer and around a lot. So, and in England, you know, I was over in England my character was on Home and Away, and in England they're crazy over there in England about those Australian home soaps, the Home and Away and Neighbours, and they just love it, the English.
I sure do.
Are you still in contact with anyone from the show, or have you seen anyone in the intervening years?
Well, I've seen Maggie a bit, and Judith, as I mentioned when she was in All Saints and I was in Home and Away, we'd see each other quite a bit. Rick Herbert, of course, is a good friend. I see him both, you know, at work and play, because we, you know, occasionally do the odd voiceover together. Not so much nowadays, as we all tend to work from home these days. So I mostly work from home here in my little home studio up here in Eureka. Who else? There are probably other people I see who I've forgotten that we worked on that together. I mean, Amanda, of course, I've seen on and off the last couple of years. Karen, who I see a lot of, and who's my dear, dear friend, Karen Fairfax. And there's probably others as well, you know. I haven't seen Tracy for a while, Tracy Mann, but she's I think she's living in South Australia these days, but she's a very close friend of me and of my husband as well. So yeah, there are probably more, but
yeah,
they're not quite coming to my mind right now, but yeah, quite a few of them. Yeah.
Are you you surprised at how popular Prisoner still is to this day? Does it shock you?
Floors me, yeah. It's remarkable. It is remarkable that a show made in the 80s on with those cheap cardboardy wobbly sets, you know, that it still captures the imagination of people today is quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. You know, it amazes me. And yeah, I am really proud of having been a part of a production that has had such a, you know, meaningful impact on so many people's lives. It's nice to have been a part of that.
Yeah. Following on with that, have you ever watched the reimagining of Prisoner, Wentworth?
Yeah.
And what did you think?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Like, I mean, so different to like really different, despite the fact that some of the characters are loosely based on characters from the original, but such a different interpretation and like much heavier and more dramatic and more graphic, of course, much less imagination required. With the current series than was in the original, but oh gosh, some such marvelous performances, like and again, lovely to see a show that offers those opportunities to so many actresses in the country. I mean, so many great performances in that series. I loved watching it. I'll probably watch that whole series again sometime. I enjoyed it so much. Yeah,
one of Foxtel's highest rating dramas as well. I mean, it was
massive, high quality, great, you know, high quality acting, lovely production values, and great storylines, some really good storylines. Yeah.
I just noticed actually some of the cast are in Chicago at the moment doing a convention for all the fans over there. There's four or five of them. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
Now, I know we're taking up a lot of your time, but we'll get onto the fan questions. Now, the first one's from Jan, who's actually our behind-the-scenes producer. She's asked, have you ever been to Scotland?
Oh, yeah. Scotland. I love Scotland. It's funny because my daughter lives in London, although she's here now just visiting us, which is a great delight. Hadn't seen her for nearly 3 years. So she actually surprised us last Friday. She literally just walked in the door, and honestly, my niece knew that she was coming, and she'd arrived out of the blue as well, more or less. And she was secretly filming Polly arriving. And honestly, if you saw the video, you'd cry too. Like, oh, we were so in shock, my husband and I. And so I'm very excited about that. But she lives in London, and my husband is English, so she has the dual citizenship. So I've been to England quite a few times. And, you know, I quite like England, but I have no idea why my daughter wants to live there. But Scotland, love it. I absolutely love Scotland. It's so different to England in every way, the population, the landscape, everything. I got to spend 2 weeks there on a voiceover gig, actually, the very, very early days. I can't remember what year it was now, but it probably would have been the early 2000s, where I got a job to do a computer program, text to voice programs where you type and the speech comes out. So it was one of the very early programs of that. So I had to go and do 2 weeks of recording all sorts of weird random sentences, thousands and thousands of sentences and words to get this program, this computer program together. And I had 2 weeks there, but they only wanted me to record for 3 hours a day because my voice would get tired after a few hours and start to sound a bit tired. So I had all this time to explore Edinburgh, and they put me up at a beautiful little apartment right near the old castle there, the Windsor, not the Windsor Castle, the castle that's in Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Castle, and right in old town there. And I just did every little tourist walk, and just, I just wandered around Edinburgh for hours and hours at a time and just absolutely fell in love with it. And of course, I am a big fan of Outlander as well. So, yeah, but I'd love to go back to Scotland. I've had some gorgeous times in Scotland. Absolutely love it.
I was going to ask you about your voiceover work. Your voice does get tired after a few hours. Like, does it get sore, or is it just...
It just starts to sound tired. Not so much when I'm talking like this, but when I'm doing voiceover work, and they wanted this real consistency for the program. And so they just wanted me how I sounded between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. And then I was free for the day. So, your voice will get tired in voiceover mode.
Next question is from Max Dweeb. Hi, Anna. Love Patty. Her storyline was very sad, profound, and her exit was a real shock when I first saw it. Was Patty always going to be murdered by drowning, or was there a different way for her to go?
Well, I think I don't know. That's probably a writer's question or a producer's question. There was never any discussion about it with me.
Script.
You know, I just got the script and was like, whoa, okie dokie, here we go.
Next question from Andrew Birch. Very likable and natural actress, even though something's cut out there. Seen her in Sons and Daughters, The Young Doctors, A Country Practice, Home and Away. Thought her character Judith should have been paired off with Donald Fisher. I thought the relationship between Patty and Bea were played beautiful by both actresses. My question is on Prisoner. What scene did you find the hardest to film?
I'd say those early scenes. The early scenes, my actual arrival at the bursting out of the thing. I say that because I was very nervous and very unsure what I was going to do and how I was going to do it and serve the script properly. And so I think they certainly stand out as the most challenging scenes for me.
One from Patty Barrett. Anna, did producers tell you in advance about Patty's death, or did you find out when reading the script?
Did they tell me? I don't know if I recall if they told me or not. I don't remember reading the script and going, oh my God, I'm dying. But maybe somebody else, when I was reading the script, maybe one of the other actors had already read the script and said, oh, wait till you see how you're getting written out, or something like that. I don't remember the producers telling me. I don't recall that. So,
okay. Stuart Carey's question we've covered was about other cast members you're in contact with. So we can go to Kit. Well, Kit, we've covered...
Aaron Turner wants to know whether you smoked in real life. Well, I think we've solved that one.
That's if you've just joined us.
encouraging to others, I'm sure.
We covered the Telstra lady question from Joseph, so we'll move over to Ken.
Oh, well, Bonnie Davis Shacko says, fantastic choice, guys. Anna, I would like to know how hard it was to film your final scene. How many takes did you have to endure? And would you have liked Patty to have had a more positive outcome? Well, I think we've pretty well covered that too.
We pretty much covered that. I recall that we did have to do, I know it was several takes. I don't know if it was a real lot, but I remember Carol getting more and more like, oh, do I have to do it again? So I know we did at least, I think there would have been a minimum three or four takes of that like and possibly more. Not as many as that first scene with Jane just making me laugh, but it was definitely several takes at the least.
Adam Bryan said, what was it like to work with Ruth Cracknell?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, she was fabulously scary to all us kids. I was only 12 at the time, and she was a very tall woman as well, and very she had that patrician facade, you know, the very serious face. I cannot, when I think of Ruth Cracknell on that, working with her on that show, I cannot recall her face smiling. At the most, I can recall a slight twitch of the lip. I cannot picture her smiling. It was always serious and kind of glaring at us. That's what I recall. But she was wonderful to work with. Like, we felt on that show, I think because there were some very, like, I was 12, which is very young, but there were even younger actors than me on the show. And so I think they really, like Leonard Teal and Ruth Cracknell and Elizabeth Alexander to some extent as well, really kept in character for the kids, didn't interact with us a lot as themselves. Like, you know, often when you were like working on Prisoner, you know, you'd have this aggressive kind of scene, and then it would be like, oh gosh, are you all right, you know, blah, 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 like we're going into normalness. On Seven Little Australians, they maintained the character, like, so we were always very obedient to Leonard Teal because he was our strict father, and Ruth Cracknell was always, we were just terrified, and so we were just always looking scared around her. And I think that was actually Ron Way's preference and the actors as well to make it easier for us children.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And how amazing was she on Mother and Son? I mean, that was just...
remarkable actress. Like, I mean, I feel exceptionally honoured to have worked with her on Seven Little Australians, where, again, she was incredible. She was incredible. She was. And it's an iconic piece of Australian television, and you know, I'm very honoured to have had the opportunity to work with her. And at 12 years old, how lucky.
Amazing.
How lucky am I?
Next one is from Simon Zopek. When your character arrived in Prisoner, it almost seemed as if she was set to be the new troublemaker, but then she mellowed. Was this an intentional change, or did it develop as you portrayed her?
I think a combination of the two, because they wrote her as a claustrophobic. So, you know, as I did mention before, I was so nervous about being such a little skinny thing and being so unthreatening and being written as this scary, threatening character. So I very much clung to it's because she's claustrophobic. She's not really aggressive. She's not really threatening. You know, she's not really as bad as all that. So I think for me, the way I approached it was like, it's a sickness, and really she's just an ordinary girl who worked in an office, and this terrible thing happened where she assaulted this guy and ended up in prison, and she's actually terrified. So I think some of that came from me, and some of it came from the writing, because they also, you know, they wrote me as a claustrophobic, so and they let that be revealed by the doctor, the psychiatrist, and so that allowed for my character to soften a little. So I think a little bit of both there.
Yeah. Are you claustrophobic in real life, or?
No, not really. Not really claustrophobic. No, I'm fine with small spaces. Yep. I don't think I've got any real phobias. A bit scared of the dark. Don't really like the dark. I can't walk when it's really dark. I always think there's something right in front of me. Yeah, I don't think I've got any real phobias. Not especially. Claustrophobic.
Good. Now, Joshua's question we covered, which was about Jane Clifton, so we'll go on to Ken's one.
Martin White says, great actress, love Paddy in Prisoner, and like others mentioned, The Harp in the South and Poor Man's Orange. I'd like to ask Anna's opinion of the lack of locally produced dramas, series, etc., and move to reality TV. What was Karen Fairfax like to work with? The chemistry on those shows is wonderful. And he says, thank you.
I'm so thrilled to have that question, and I'm so glad that he enjoyed Harp in the South and Poor Man's Orange as much as I did. I love Karen. I consider her my sister. As I've mentioned earlier in this interview, we've only recently reconnected in the last year or so, and she's about to come back to my place to stay for a while. And the chemistry was everything you think it was. We all absolutely loved each other. Gwen Plum was amazing. Martin Sanderson, my dad, they're both gone now. Annie Phelan's gone. My mother, all of us, we all absolutely loved each other. We all loved working on that show. It's some of the work I'm proudest of in my career. Was there another part of the question that I've missed there?
No,
it was just beautiful, beautiful work. The chemistry was as good as you think it was. We all truly loved each other. And Gwen Plum was such a joy to work with. Yes. She's so fun. But the foulest mouth you've ever heard. Like,
oh, really?
All Gwen Plum swearing and swearing and swearing. She's hilarious. We were all pretty much swearers on that show. I think that Gwen topped us all. And Martin Sanderson, New Zealand actor that was brought over here to play Huey and the dad, and he was just incredible. All beautiful, beautiful, and Carol Skinner as well, awesome.
Yeah. Martin's question also did mention about what do you think about the lack of locally produced drama?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And reality
TV show.
I'm curious to know what your thoughts are.
You probably shouldn't have brought that back to me, you know, because that is one of my absolute soapbox topics. I refuse to watch reality TV. I hate it with a
passion. All reality TV?
TV. Okay. I find it, I take it as a personal insult as an actor. I think it's a cheap ass, you know. I'm going to have to smoke another cigarette now.
Yeah, like.
Honestly, like, yes, the lack of drama, it's because it's too expensive. It's cheap as anything to do reality TV. It's like Australia is becoming a cultural wasteland as far as I'm concerned. I think it's disgusting. I hate it. I hate reality TV with a deep, deep, deep passion. So, yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
I do not approve.
You know what the sad thing about reality TV now is that they're only casting people that have got big social media following. If you've got 200,000 followers, you'll get on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, or you know, one of those type of shows. It doesn't even matter if you can act or can't act.
I feel old. I feel like I'm of another time, you know, like I don't appreciate reality TV on any level at all. I just think it's I just think it's cut price television and is an insult to the arts and certainly an insult to actors. It's certainly an absolute insult to actors. I won't watch anything. I will not watch it. The only thing I did used to watch a little bit of was I could occasionally watch Dancing with the Stars or that other dancing program. There was some dancing program years ago that had dancers that they'd choreographed, I don't remember what it was called. But see, that featured incredible dancers, like people with talent. I mean, the Andy Warhol, every minute person will have their 15 minutes of fame quote is, you know, reality TV is the absolute, you know, answer to that, isn't it? Like.
Yeah, all the married at first sight.
You don't have any talent. You don't have to be able to do anything. You know, you just have to be willing to make. You know, the first time I heard of Big Brother, I had just travelled to England, and my nephew picked us up at the airport, and he was rushing us home. And Big Brother had just started in England, and never heard of it. Hadn't been in Australia yet. And he said, "Oh, I've got to get back to watch Big Brother. It's eviction night." And I said, "What?" And so he explained the concept of the show. And he said, you know, so all these people, just random people who auditioned for the show or whatever, they live in this house and you can watch them on camera 24 hours a day and people watch them all week and it's on telly, whatever, every night. And then at the end of the week, the whole of the population, the viewing population, get to vote on who they like the least, and they get evicted. And I listened to the description of this and I said, but how on earth do they get people willing to do that? Like, who on earth, what sane, normal person would want to be judged by the whole of the population to be told, we hate you, get the hell out of there, you know?
It's $250,000 at the end of it.
I know. But like, to me, it was like, is it worth it for only a quarter of $1 million? Like, is it worth it to absolutely publicly humiliate yourself? And he said to me, are you kidding? Like, they had thousands of people wanting to go there. And like, that was my sort of real introduction to the start of reality TV, like real reality TV. And I couldn't comprehend it then, and I still don't comprehend it now. I think it's disgusting, and I think it's one of the main things that is wrong with the world today. Not that I'm opinionated or anything.
No, but I take it you're not a Married at First Sight fan.
Never laid eyes on it. Don't want to know anything about it. Lots of my friends will drop something into the comments because everybody watches this stuff, it seems, you know. And I am rigid about it. I will not have a frame of it in my vision. I know nothing. Couldn't tell you anything about anybody. Don't want to know.
Going back to the question now, Luke, he asked about working with Leonard Teal, so we've covered that. We'll move over to Ken's.
Yes, Jay Shaw says, looking forward to watching this terrific actress, one of the best exits in Prisoner, although I'd have loved Paddy to have stayed for longer.
But now we know who to blame because Paddy didn't stay longer. So there's a lot of other people that wanted Paddy to stay longer.
Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled to hear that.
A comment from Brian Lee Whitworth. He said, wow, she looks great. So the promo banner that we had up of you.
Yes, I'll have something to say about that in a moment. Wow, she looks great is just a statement. That's a comment.
Well, of course, my daughter did my makeup for me this morning. I said, you better, because I live in the country now, so I hardly ever put any makeup on. But she gave me a nice subtle makeup, so I'm better than I usually do.
The Nicholas Janides says, I also loved Anna in Harp in the South. What was it like working with Annie Phelan and Gwen Plum? Well, I think you've pretty well covered that.
I could go on about it more.
Yeah.
Idyllic, divine, special.
Yeah. Ollie Middlex said her late mother had a wonderful show on TVS called Joy's World Bless.
Yeah, she did. Yes, she was an eccentric woman and fabulous character. Yeah, you must check out her funeral video. I sent you the link.
She planned her whole funeral. Is that right? I read that she...
Unbelievable. The kindest thing, you know, like she literally had a folder that told us what to have, what to eat, what the catering for her wake, you know, which church it was going to be at and which minister she wanted and who was going to read what verses and that Anna had to do the eulogy and we just had to tick the boxes. We didn't have to make any decisions. And she'd made this video for her funeral, to be played at her funeral, about 3 years before she died, she made it. And it was during the time when I was traveling to Sydney every week, and she filmed her program from her garage. She had this little townhouse in Sydney in Botany, and she turned her garage into a little film studio. And I came home one day and walked into the house and I thought, oh, I wonder where Mum is. And I heard this sound in the garage and I went out there and there she is with her lovely friend Daniel, this gorgeous camp gay guy. And he'd done all this beautiful makeup on her and she was wearing a halo and she was wearing lots of pearls and feather boas and wings. She had wings on and she was making her video. It was just hilarious. And you know, it was her funeral. I've never been to a funnier funeral in my life. I mean, I was devastated to lose my mother, but she was you know, she was ready to go, and she had a wonderful life, as she says in her video. It was the kindest thing to do. Like her video, she just says, "Oh, I've had a wonderful life, and I couldn't have done it all without all of you." And you know, I've been a mother, and I've been a daughter, and I've been an actress, and I've been a producer, and I've been a director, and I've been this, and I've been that, and anyway, it was, she had all the pallbearers, my husband, my brother. Stephen King was one of the pallbearers, who played my son in Home and Away. And they all had to wear feather boas as they carried her out. And people followed that coffin out laughing, like you've never heard so much laughter at a funeral. And the day after the funeral, I was sitting in a cafe having a coffee. It was a rainy day. And I was about to catch the train to the airport to go fly back up here. And my mobile phone went, and this voice on the phone says, "Oh, hello, my name's whatever his name was," and he said, "I'm a producer from the project, and I heard that at your mother's funeral yesterday that there was that she'd made a video, and it was really funny," and then all of a sudden he stops and he says, "Sorry for your loss." Said, "Yeah, okay, what is it you want?" And he said, "We'd love to, we wanted to know if we could play some of the video on the show tonight." And so I said, "Oh God, she'd love that, you know, she was such a bloody show off." I said, "Well, but I'm in the city now, but I'm about to go to the train station and fly home." And he said, "If we send somebody over there, do you have it with you?" And I said, "Well, I've got my laptop, like they can download it from my laptop." And so they said, "Can you wait just like 20 minutes?" Because they were just down at Piermont, not far away. And like, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour later, this guy comes in and says, "Oh, hi," and, you know, plugs into my computer. And that night, I sent you a little clip of yeah, that as well, of her on the project, this little clip. So she would have been thrilled with that. She would have been absolutely delighted. So yeah, it was a pretty amazing funeral. People still talk about it when I see them. They say, "Oh, I still remember your mother's funeral. It was hilarious." But it was very kind. It was very, very kind.
There are some funny stories about you. I read one a few weeks ago about a guy in the UK that passed away, and he recorded his voice before he left. And yeah, it was saying, "Help, get me out, don't bury me." And they played this as the coffin was going into. So I know it's a bit weird, but it was quite a funny story that all his friends were just in hysterics because they knew that that's the type of guy he was, playing practical jokes all the time. And
yeah, that's great.
I've got a comment from Desley Madge who says, just simply says, "Looking forward to this gem."
Oh, that's nice. Well, I hope it's not disappointing.
Oh, the fans are going to love this. And also from Davey Johnson said, "Oh my God, beyond excited about this one," which is sort of a common comment from a lot of other fans as well. We just haven't put them all.
Oh, it's so lovely. Like honestly, I'm really very moved.
And these are all real. Ken and I have made them up. So
it's really very, very lovely. Very lovely.
Last one.
Last one is from Brian Lee Whitworth. My question is, if you could have played any other character in the show, who would you have liked to have played and why?
Oh, let me see. Oh, which character would I like to have played? Well, let me see. Like nowadays, like at the age I am now, I always thought, I actually hoped, when I remember my agent telling me when Wentworth was being cast, she said, "Oh, I'm really hoping to get you into Wentworth, like that would be so cool." And then she said the first few seasons, I know later on they did actually have some, there have been some actors who were in Prisoner who have been in, yeah, Wentworth. But in the early days, they said, no, we don't want any actors who were in Prisoner. We want all new actors. So I couldn't be up for any of those. But I remember thinking, I think I would have been a fabulous governor. I think I would have been a really good governor.
You got the right voice for it as well.
Yeah, I just thought I could have done the governor justice. I think I could have done that very well. Certainly at my age now, I think I would have been a wonderful governor.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that was absolutely amazing. Is there anything that you're working on at the moment that we can share with the fans, or the fans could look at? Are you just enjoying life, making cheese and scones?
Yeah, look, honestly, I do voiceovers every day. That's really what I mostly do these days from my little home studio. But yeah, I think of myself now. I don't think of myself as being retired from the business or anything. Like I think I'll always feel like an actress, just because it's just what I've done all my life, you know, and it's what I know, and I can certainly slip back into it. Like if somebody offered me some fabulous role tomorrow, I wouldn't feel like, oh gosh, how do you do it again? I think I'd embrace it and love it, you know. But at the same time, I'm fortunate, and I feel I don't need it. I don't need it to make me feel okay in my life. So if somebody wants to offer me a fabulous role, great. But if I never get any acting work again, I'm okay with that as well. I feel very satisfied with my career, and just doing an interview like this, to think that I've worked on a show that was that touched so many people and for such a long period of time, is extremely satisfying for me. And it's really truly very touching. I'm very moved by the interest of people. So yeah, lovely.
Amazing. And we thank you for coming on and giving your time to share your memories about your life and stellar career. I mean, what a career. I mean, you've been on just about everything in Australia, and it's amazing that you've been able to.
Thank you for asking. I'm thrilled to be asked and have thoroughly enjoyed it. Reminiscing however long we've been talking.
2 hours, it's all good. Anything you'd like to add before we wrap up, Ken?
Two things. One is just a very brief short story about John Waters, the man with the very handsome man with the scar. I was working on a television series called The Box, and we get in early in the morning, and there was John Waters discovered on a couch, strumming his guitar. This was the first time that he'd appeared on The Box. And the rest of the cast members followed in, Belinda Giblin, Bryony Behets, et cetera. And there was a collective sigh sort of went around the ladies.
Yes.
Just seeing John Waters just strumming the guitar and looking like John Waters.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
The other thing that I want to say is that from a portrait painter or artist, which I dabble in a bit, has anybody ever compared you at the moment to Meryl Streep?
No, not at all.
The cheekbones and the smile I see a familiarity there.
Oh, that's very flattering.
Well, I hope it's flattering.
Yeah. I'll dine out on that one for a while, Ken.
If I ever get around to doing a portrait of you, I'd like to do it in Meryl Streep mode.
Yeah, please.
And Ken just said he dabbles. It's more than dabble if you've seen his work. I wouldn't say dabble. It does some pretty amazing
portraits.
One of my daughter as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That was episode 39 of Talking Prisoner. If you can please subscribe to our YouTube channel and like all our social media pages, including Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and all the others. And this episode will be available across all podcast platforms, including Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, Amazon, all of them, and also on the talkingprisoner.com website. Thank you so much for being with us, Anna.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.